The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland live from Bar Canada at the D. It's happening.
Not much, buddy. I just don't want to wait for our lives to be over.
Oh, you're talking about the music being played here at the D? Who sings this?
I have no idea.
Yeah, this I would not know. You probably could hear it in the background.
Googling.
Kelly just reciting lyrics. He'll be doing that for the next 2 hours, no matter what song is on.
That's all I'm here for.
He'll just do lyrics. By the way, I'm doing a Q2, just a little scheduling note here. I'm doing a Major League Baseball Q2 podcast with Mark Borchard right after the show for the Baseball Hardos. We'll get into first five stats. We'll get into proprietary first inning stats. For those who are into that kind of stuff, umpires and beyond, we will do it. And Mark, of course, has historical umpire odds that no one else has. So we will dive into it deep, see what is noise and what is signal with umpires as well. So beyond the normal stats that are available in terms of just overall ROI and wins and losses, who's hemorrhaging money for folks.
That would be the great Paula Cole Band, by the way.
Paula Cole, yeah. That's right.
Most well-known from the Dawson's Creek song.
I wasn't a big – was that a CW thing, Dawson's Creek? I wasn't a big CW guy.
But did it originate on CW?
Or the WB, one of those two,
oh,
right?
Oh, good call.
Yeah, one of those two. Thank you very much. I've done all I can. We also – tomorrow, Kelly and I will be here for July 4th. So it's – and Crack will be here as well.
Yeah, it should
be pointed out. Crack's not going anywhere. So we're doing a full show tomorrow, Unscripted with the Crack Man, July 4th style.
I was very glad I ran into one of the pit bosses downstairs who they thought we were not going to be here tomorrow.
Oh.
So I don't know if there was some party planned up here or something. We might be in the middle of it tomorrow.
Ah, man, we're here. By the way, can we start on the show today? I should mention Will Hill will join us, give all his plays that he's currently on. Jake Hahn will be here, not to talk hockey with us, but to talk golf and tennis. Maybe he's got some Wimbledon winners. I certainly don't, Kelly. Remember those? Remember all those hard court winnings I had?
Yeah.
Poof. Grass. The futures look great.
But the futures portfolio looks nice.
Oh, my God. Match by match, not so good. Tom Byrne will be here from Mad Dog Radio to talk NBA free agency. That's Kelly's favorite subject in the world. Jason Weingarten. Jason Weingarten back on camera today, I'm told.
Ooh.
Big return. Big return on camera. Looking forward to that. We want to start today, or at least I do, with a correction. Not a correction, but a clarification of something we did yesterday. So Kelly and I, Kelly, by the way, found these great, what they call drive. I want to get the wording right.
Drive for week five.
Drive for week five on the DraftKings app. This is in the NFL section. Drive for week five. And we were going through the matchups we like. And those still apply. Love Cleveland over Pittsburgh. I love Washington over New England and those two. I should see what the prices changed to, by the way. But yesterday, certainly loved them at those prices. And one of the things we got to eventually was certain teams have buys in week number five. And I made the comment. I was like, oh, you got to factor that in because it's whatever your record is after week five. Well, turns out there's a bit of confusion here, Kelly, because, and by the way, shout out to Frank Doyle on Twitter, who was the first person to point this out to us. So you go to drive for week five. Then it says most wins after five games, which is a new addition that they put in there to try to clarify. But then when you go to the matchups itself.
Yeah, it was most wins after 5 weeks.
That's right. Yesterday. They switched it to games now, but then the actual matchups themselves still say first 5 weeks wins match bet. So the clarification is that it's actually games.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there was one that involved Detroit. Detroit has a bye in week five. I like Detroit even with the bye. I obviously like them better in their matchup. I believe that was against, let me make sure who that was against. Detroit was in their matchup against
Cowboys.
Dallas. They're against Dallas, and I love Detroit at plus 150, and I like the tie at plus 250, but now I really like Detroit at plus 150, knowing that they get an extra game. And then it does take me off another one because there was a Dallas-Philly one, which we didn't get to yesterday, where Philly has the bye in week number five. And I liked the tie thinking it was weeks, but it's actually game, so I don't like that anymore. So anyway, the two that we talked about yesterday, those still apply. Anyway, if you're betting that, know please that it is games, even though you're getting mixed signals. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, I do have three more tennis plays today, and I hesitate to give these to you, but three more that have not happened. I am on Bianca Andreescu today. Bianca Andreescu, who won a U.S. Open so many years ago. If she is on, she should get this. She's plus 104 today. The Canadian, Bianca Andreescu, who has suffered so many injuries throughout the years. She is taking on Linda Noskova. So I'm on Andreescu, plus 104. She's right around that price right now. And then two plays in the Osaka match, just like we had last time, where we had Dion Parise. She couldn't get home as a $3 dog because she got the yips right at the end, but we did hit the over. I'm on the over again in the Osaka-Navarro match today, over 22 games in Osaka-Navarro, and I'm actually on Navarro as well at plus 123 looking for the upset. Those are the only tennis plays remaining today as we try to bounce back from a very wobbly Wimbledon beginning. Grass kills me, Kelly. Grass kills me.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
Pass on grass.
It's like an anti-drug PSA.
I've always been fascinated by that. We have talked about it a couple times of just the shorter run up right?
It's just data. Yeah, it makes sense.
You don't have all the data that you have for the hard courts and even in clay.
The problem is that I clearly do not have the discipline, right, to say, wow, great hard court season, robust data, so much hard court data, it manifests so well. Clay, I would argue, is good too, typically. But grass, like, I should just bet futures in Wimbledon and go home.
Or dial back, right? Or, I mean, dial back what you're betting, yeah.
Or dial back. And by the way, whenever we talk like this, by the way, usually a bounce happens. So, you know, you never know. Catch me in 3 days. I'll be like, see? That's awesome. Grass.
Also, as soon as you dial back your betting size, when you start winning everything, obviously.
It is amazing, though, how you can go through stretches where it's like every break point you get never comes through, and every break point the opponent gets always. You know, you just get in those ruts. LeBron James has signed a 2-year deal with the Lakers, Kelly.
The Lakers got their guy.
They got their man.
Yeah, two-year, $104 million maximum contract for LeBron James, his normal kind of two-year deal with the player option for the second year. He will be back with the Lakers. I don't think any huge surprise there. The only question we really had was he going to take less money for them to try to bring someone else in? But that was kind of a pipe dream when they were talking about it, because the amount of money less that he would have to take to bring someone of significance in would have been a huge amount of money that I don't think LeBron James was really serious ever about taking that big of money.
And what was the note that they're working on having Bronny with a multi-year deal?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't catch that yesterday.
Yeah,
they had their little media day or whatever yesterday to introduce the rookies. I mean, he's gonna be G League for a year plus, I would think.
Lakers are not a thing, correct?
No.
What's their big off-season move? So, nothing, right?
No, nothing. I mean, Drew. I think Drew brought this up yesterday. I think one thing we will see this season is there is going to be. I think there are some teams in the East that will be a little bit better than they were last year, and I think there are some teams in the West, as you heard me say all the time, about how amazing that Western Conference was, how amazing that playoffs was going to be. Some of those,
well, we all said it.
Some of those teams are going to take a step back. I mean, you're looking around it. Oklahoma City's had an amazing offseason, but you kind of knew that was coming with all the cap space they had. It's okay. Denver's lost KCP. There's a lot of questions going on with them right now. Minnesota hasn't added anybody, so that kind of the Western Conference overall, I think, will be a little bit weaker next year than it has been over the past couple years.
We thought it was going to be the greatest Western Conference playoffs ever. It turned out to be just horrible.
What a dud.
Are the Warriors doing anything here? D'Anthony Melton.
They can't either. I mean, the problem with Lakers and Warriors have the same problem. They have no money. They have no money to spend on anything.
Kyle Anderson, 3 years, $27 million, and now looking at Buddy Hield in a trade with the Sixers.
I mean, Buddy Hield would be interesting. I don't know why Philadelphia would be running to give up Buddy Hield, though, right now. I mean, Kyle Anderson, yes. Like, that is... That's where the Lakers and Warriors are at, though. Like they when they have no money to spend, everybody's wondering what the big move the Warriors are going to try to pull is. Like, that's all the money they've got. All they can do is go out and get a guy like Kyle Anderson. Slow-mo.
So nothing to be seen.
One of the best nicknames in the NBA.
Slow-mo.
Slow-mo.
Greatest nickname ever in sports? Mike Hargrove, the human rain delay.
That was a good one.
Mike Hargrove, human ray delay from the 70s. You also found, you. I just want to say also shout out to you again, because you found the drive for week five stuff at DraftKings. You also found that now for NL and AL MVP, they have these straight matchups. Not matchups, pardon me. They have Judge against the field and Ohtani against the field.
Yep.
That's how unexciting these MVP races are right now, that you've got that those two markets available. Ohtani in the NL is minus 230. No one is even close to his price in the NL market. The field is plus 180. And Aaron Judge is minus 270. Gunnar Henderson, the only person in single digits, I believe, for the Orioles that is in that market, in the standard MVP
market. Yeah,
he's market.
3-1.
But we've talked about this before, though, with Judge. Just, first of all, I mean, he's ridiculous. If you watch him night after night, when you start quoting Bonds-esque, like when you're showing stats where, like, the last person to do this, Barry Lamar Bonds, when you start getting into that range, you're just on a different level. And he's got the Yankees bias. I just don't, to me, there's no, I'm not betting a field on either of these.
Has the Soto drop-off really occurred? Because it was only, what, 3 weeks ago?
Now he's 14-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's really falling back?
Well, he was hurt for a spell right there. And Judge doesn't stop. And I know there's this notion that Soto is the better all-around baseball player, but it just doesn't bear out in the numbers this year. It's just sort of like, that doesn't apply.
So my under 42.5 home runs on Aaron Judge isn't looking so good?
Yeah, it's probably not good. Probably not going to worry about it. How's your Lukaku most goals for Belgium thing looking?
That one's dead.
Yeah.
Also, my Austria bets from yesterday.
Okay. And again, just clarifying, Belgium has no more games for you to
yeah,
to
no
make,
more
you
games. Know, anyway. No more games for Austria either. That was a fun one, though, yesterday.
How about some Will Hill on the other side? Get his plays. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199 with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG.
ANG as in a numbers game, a whole month for free. Wow!
13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, that's the voice of Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. You good? You good?
Oh, I'm good.
You back from vacation? You in full swing?
Yeah. Full swing.
Want to talk to Will Hill, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line?
I guess.
All right. Will Hill, at not the Will Hill, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Also part of the Bear Bets Pod, Chris Felica's empire over there at Fox Sports. How you doing, man?
Good. What's going on, boys?
We were just talking a little NBA free agency, and oftentimes such things do not trigger any bets. But for you, Wilson Hilson, it has.
Yeah, I mean, it's not up yet, which I don't know why it is. I don't know why these season win totals aren't up. You see divisions, you see a lot of other things. All these rosters are pretty much set. LeBron is coming back to the Lakers. Like, I don't know, DeMar DeRozan's not going to move a win total. These win totals be popping up. I'm going to bet the Clippers under. I'm assuming it's going to be, and I'm curious what Kelly thinks, 40, 41. I just think, look, their best player is always hurt. Their second best player is James Harden. They don't have any of their picks going forward. So at some point, you have to at least kick the tires on, hey, can we get Kawhi Leonard healthy? Then maybe trade him and recoup some of these picks that we owe. Maybe trade Harden. You have to consider everything. I know they're going into this new building and they want to sell tickets, but you can't let the new building just deteriorate your franchise here. This is a disaster. This is basically the Herschel Walker trade, the whole Paul George for all those assets. So I think it's a free roll where Kawhi could get hurt, Kawhi could get traded. If they hang anything near 40, I'm going to bet the Clippers under. Just as far as these moves and George to Philly, Bridges to the Knicks, I think the league got a lot better, a lot more interesting. We just saw the Boston Celtics Invitational, these last couple months where they didn't have to play a game six or game seven. That's not going to happen this year. You got the Knicks, you got the Sixers. Milwaukee is still okay. Maybe you can talk yourself into Milwaukee. And then the West is pretty good. I think the league's balanced out. This is not going to be a scenario where Boston just rolls to a title again. So there's some regional rivalries too with Boston, Philly, New York. I think the league got more competitive, better. I just think it's more balanced. And I'm surprised. I don't think enough is being made of Denver losing Caldwell Pope a summer after losing Jeff Green, Bruce Brown. That's a lot of talent out the door with no talent coming back in the door. And you wonder, I know Jokic is detached from all this stuff and he's wherever doing whatever, but he's 30. I mean, you're kind of punting on prime years of his career too, where look, he doesn't have 6, 7, 8 years of his prime. He's probably got, crazy to think, 2, 3 years of his prime. He's 30. He was in the 2014 draft. So to just let these valuable role players go out the window just because of money and not get anything back, I think is crazy. I think they could still win a title because you have Jokic, Murray, Porter, Gordon. But man, that team was a little short last year, and they're cutting it even shorter. So I think the league is really balanced, really competitive. And I do think once these win totals come up, which should be any day now, I would think, I'm going to be looking to hammer the Clippers win total under.
But before Kelly chimes in here, though, like, okay, yeah, that's sight unseen. What number do you imagine it comes out at, and what is too low for you?
It was 44.5 last year, so George has got to be worth 3 or 4 wins. So I'll say 39.5, 40, something like that.
I think you're going to get a 40. I think you'll get 40.5. Yeah, I think you'll be able to get one of those.
And nobody's posted these yet, Kelly?
Now, if I remember right, last year they came out right during summer league. So, like you're talking about, we're maybe a week or two till they get up.
Remember how late they used to come out? Like, we would have to go a whole summer before
I'm kind of laughing at Will being like, when are these going to be posted?
Now we're in such a new world where they come out almost immediately. Yeah.
Well, they're in a hurry to take your money. The NBA draft is not even finished, and they're putting up rookie of the year bets. They're in plenty of hurry. They'll take your money whenever and tie it up for this long. But look, divisions are up for NBA, like all the other stuff, and divisions are, I mean, that's pretty closely correlated with the win. So I would figure it'd be soon.
Anything else for you to add on the clip?
The division stuff's a little interesting to me. I wasn't planning on going down this road, but whatever happened to the Rockets? I thought they were going to follow up with a big move in the Suns, and the Rockets have been. I've been staring at a 13-1 on them in the division. I mean, yes, the Mavericks are there. Yes, the Grizzlies are there. Yes, the Pelicans are there. But I don't. If they actually pull off one of these trades, still I don't know. There's still a bunch up in the air. I think there would be some teams I might be interested in jumping in on win totals with you, Will. But there's still a few I understand why they might be waiting on.
What about that horrible human Ishbia just running it back with the same stuff at Phoenix? Like that? How do they expect that to work?
I mean, I think that's kind of, to Will's point a little bit with the Clippers, too. Clippers and Nuggets. It's just, what are these teams? I don't understand what these teams are doing that we thought were maybe a threat over the past year or 2 years ago.
All right, not hypothetical. This actual now. Will made an NFL MVP bet. What was that?
Jared Goff is still out there, 35-1. I was doing these shows with Dave Ross this weekend. We were talking like, man, he's 40-1. That doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, I've made this point. I don't think you get great numbers anymore. The days of Mahomes and Lamar Jackson at 70-80-1, their first year starting, those days are over. They just don't hang long numbers anymore. But to me, for all of the awards that are ambiguous, NFL MVP is not. It's a quarterback, and it's a quarterback of a 1 or 2 seed. The Lions are lined as like an 11-win team. At DraftKings, the over 10.5 is -135. I just think that's too long. If you're looking at these other guys in the mix, all single digits, Burrow's 10-1, Josh Allen's +850. I mean, if the Lions win 12 games, let's say 12 games, maybe 13, somewhere in that range, Goff should not be 35-1. And there is a 35-1 out there. It's 30 at DraftKings. I just think of all the MVP bets, and people like to bet that market and talk about that market as content. I think Goff is clearly the best bet. I think that's a good team. He plays indoors, so his numbers aren't going to be compromised by bad weather. He's got a Chicago game here or there, a Lambeau game here or there. But for the most part, good weapons around him, good offense. I just think 35-1 is too long.
I think you're right. I think the number's too long. Has anybody ever won an MVP, a season-long MVP, without changing his expression for the entire year? I would ask that. And then this Goff MVP thing seems almost very popular at this point, doesn't it? Like, we've heard multiple people say that. Yeah. Matt Brown is on it as well.
Oh, I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Once it, there is a, yeah, once it, yeah, once somebody thinks of it or somebody, I mean, look, it's the middle of the summer. We're all looking for content.
Yeah.
You know, good numbers don't last. That goes back to, you know, it's amazing to think Mahomes, his first year was like 70-1, and the same for Lamar, it was like 80-1. It was flip flop. I mean, that's just, it doesn't happen anymore. Joe Burrow won the Heisman at 200-1. Like, if you look at the Heisman market, anybody with a pulse is under 50-1, under 30-1. So it's kind of the good days are kind of over in terms of like picking off these mistakes for awards, especially in these major markets.
We all trusted Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer didn't think he was any good. So I guess, you know,
right.
how good could he be? What were you going to say?
A total of 3 outdoor games for Jared Goff.
3 outdoor games. And remember, he's the guy where if it like gets to 32 degrees Fahrenheit, he loses his ability to play football. Tell me why there's no day baseball games today. It's a Wednesday. I get July 4th is tomorrow, but like we can't do this 2 days in a row. What is this?
I was just going to say the same thing. Somebody should run for president just based off of the format that, hey, I'm going to make day baseball all year round, and they would get a decent chunk of the vote. They would certainly get my vote. It's just ridiculous. It's the day before the 4th of July. People are off. It's the middle of summer. Ugh. Now, holiday feel to it. The reason the NFL is so popular, part of the reason the NFL is so popular, they flood their airwaves with their sport. Their sport is always on Thursday and Monday, and it's on during the day. It's not on these ridiculous times. Let people watch your sport. It's crazy.
What'd you land on today?
I did take under 7.5 in Cubs Phillies, and I can't understand it, and it's starting to get away from me. You can still get Baltimore at plus money to win the division. Baltimore is just a better team than the Yankees right now, outside of Judge and Soto, and what Judge is doing is just absolutely insane. But outside of that, Verdugo slumping, Volpe slumping, Stanton's hurt. It's a really rough lineup where they don't get anything out of the rest of those guys, and the starting pitching is really starting to regress. Cole was a little better on Sunday, but these Rodons, Stroman's, Heel, their regression was imminent, and their regression is hitting, and it's hitting hard. I also took plus 1.5 with the Reds today. Get the road team, you get the 9 at bats. Maybe the Yankees are up a run after 8.5, and you cash it that way. But Rodon hasn't been good lately. So to me, Reds plus 1.5, and Baltimore still plus 110 at DraftKings to win the division. I think the wrong team's favored there.
Yeah, here are some of the teams that had better records than the Yankees in the month of June. Reds, Rays, Pirates, Angels, Cardinals, Diamondbacks. It's really unbelievable what a turnaround to the bad this season has been for the Yankees. And by the way, last thing, we in the previous segment, we talked about how DraftKings has now Ohtani versus the field and Judge versus the field. You would not bet the field at this point, would you, on either of those?
If there would be one, it would be in the NL, just because who knows, Ohtani's a DH, but I think those are properly priced, to be honest.
I do too. Will, thank you. Enjoy your 4th of July, sir.
All right.
And your 3rd of July, since you have no baseball.
Sorry for the fake bet. I apologize.
the hypothetical Clippers bet. We'll allow it. We'll allow it this one time. Jake Hahn is coming up. We got some golf. We got some tennis from him next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on A Numbers Game, live from Barcanada, the Barrage, here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. Oh, what's his shirt is butterflying again. Can't have that happen. Can't have that happen.
Your shirt turning into a butterfly over there?
Well, it's just... It just
yeah, the but, Richard Jefferson effect.
Richard Jefferson could pull it
he
off.
Goes he goes low.
A, how do we put this in the fashion business? A plunging collar.
Yes, that's right.
I love it. We get tweets at Beating the Book.
I wouldn't even wear a shirt if I were him. I'd just put a tie just, over top. Sorry. What's wrong?
Just do a J-Lo thing. Trust the glove. I'm on crutches at present. Oh, no. Sorry, trust the glove. Sitting and gambling to pass the time, I opened my computer to see Dustin Weeds on the sports page today. Could you do a segment on the women's one-day cricket internationals? England versus New Zealand? I need an edge. We gotta send the bat signal out for Dan Weston. Dan Weston could give us a... Maybe we should reach out to Dan for cricket.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about Dan.
All right.
Or for tennis, too.
You imagine? Well, he's not really doing tennis anymore.
Really?
Yeah,
he's just focusing on cricket.
Here's the thing about Dan Weston. Dan, who was always on our show talking tennis, and... I will just say is my biggest tennis handicapping inspiration
yeah,
ever. Like
he's
just
great.
The greatest. It was on Betfair, Pinnacle, everything. He became a massively sought after cricket analytics guy. Mm-hmm. And so he actually works for teams. So
good for Dan.
Yeah. So I don't even know if he would be able to come on and give cricket opinions.
And to answer the tweet, Gil and I are still trying to figure out how to read the scores. So
yeah, we don't even know that much. Michael Burns, hope you don't try to cut Crack's segment short tomorrow. You might have to mute his mic. Crack on the final day of democracy, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow. J.R. Boudaris, greatest sports nickname ever. Oh, because I said that the human rain delay, Mike Hargrove was. He says, Bert be home by 11. That was Chris Berman. What Chris Berman used to call Bert Bly 11, I believe.
That's good.
Trip Tepper, for those of us who grew up in Virginia as Orioles fans, I grew up in Maryland, D.C. as an Orioles fan, I'll nominate former Oriole John Let It Be Lowenstein as another 70s, 80s elite baseball nickname. Yeah. I think that was Berman, too, wasn't it? Maybe it wasn't Berman. That one was pre-Berman. And then Judd O'Connor on tennis. He says, we go on Lloyd Harris in this service battle between him and Shelton today. I am staying away from that one because Lloyd Harris is one of these players that had a great stretch of tennis, then sort of disappeared, and now seems to be playing well again. So I want no part of that. Maybe Jay Kahn wants part of it. Jay Kahn joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's usually here to talk hockey with us, but he's all about the tennis and the golf as well. He comes to us from Toronto, Canada, the T-Dot, the Six. Sorry, that's all the nicknames I got for Toronto. What's happening, man?
Well, you hit them all for the most part. I don't think you missed any there, Gil. And I also am staying away from that match. I gave it a good look, and Harris did interest me a little bit as an underdog. But ultimately, I would need a bigger price, I think, to go against Shelton. I know Shelton struggled a little bit here recently, and the surface does set up nicely for Harris. And like you said, I mean, at one point he was a player that we'd be willing to back. Just a little too inconsistent still for my liking. So I would need that up closer, I think, to plus 150, plus 160 in that range to actually give it a play. That one would be a stay away for me as well.
All right. I just want to warn you, as you do this segment, watch out for the Velociraptor behind you because apparently it's I hear the noises and it could be imminent. What did you land on tennis-wise today?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't be a good Canadian if I didn't give you guys a Canadian play here, right? A little bit of bias included in this, but I actually do really like the number. I'm going with Bianca Andreescu.
Yes, there we go. We match.
Yeah, plus money over Linda Noskova here. Now, Noskova's a great talent, 19 years old. Looks like she's going to be a great player here for years, but not a lot of grass court experience whatsoever. She's played a little bit mixed results in the run-up to Wimbledon here. Sarah Rani in the first round, so I'm not overly impressed by that one. She actually struggled a little bit in the first set in that match. I just think Bianca is going to be able to win a lot of free points on her first serve. I do think Noskova can attack her a bit on the second serve, but I think Bianca is going to be able to win enough first serves. And look, she's a player that we can trust in these big moments on big stages. She's been here before, and she just made a grass court final a couple weeks ago in the Netherlands. So I like where her game is at, and I think getting her at plus money against a relatively inexperienced player here is a pretty good spot.
Yeah, whenever they used to have me on the Score over there in Toronto to talk before a tennis slam, they would just run through all the Canadian tennis players, right? So on the men's side, they'd be like, what do you think about Felix? What about Auger-Aliassime? What about Raonic? And then they go to Lila, and then they'd eventually get to Bianca. And every time I'd be like, well, I mean, if she would just get past these injuries, man, she could become that player she once was. Because at her best, she still can bring it. But you just don't know when it's coming these days. That's the thing. What else did you have?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to go to another women's match here. I do have a men's play to get into as well. But another, fascinating player, this time an American. I like Emma Navarro at plus money here against Naomi Osaka. Now,
bro,
Osaka was someone I was really wanting to back to come in into this tournament. And I still do really like where her game is at overall. But ultimately, I just think Navarro might be a better player right now. And you're getting her at plus 120. Now, we talk about a player that can be wild and erratic at times. That is Emma Navarro. But I think she's starting to put it together a little bit here. And Osaka's game is still a little inconsistent. It doesn't feel like she's all the way back right now at this point. So I looked at this price, and I thought it was a bit of a misprice. I think at the very least this should be priced closer to a pick'em. So plus 120 for Emma Navarro over Naomi Osaka today.
Jake, we're sharing a brain because that's the other one I have. I also have the over in this particular match between Navarro and Osaka. Who you got on the men's side?
Well, I did this for a reason, and it's to signal my boy, the Stanimal, Stan Wawrinka. Actually, two of my favorite players of all time are going to go head-to-head. I don't know if they're actually going to be able to get this match in because it does start a little bit later today. Might end up getting suspended due to darkness at some point. But two of my favorite players of all time, if you know me, are Stan Wawrinka and Gael Monfils. So as we know, these guys are on the tail end of their careers, the back nine, probably the last couple holes of their tennis career. So I just love the fact that they're still playing and I can still watch them. I understand they're not factoring into an outright perspective in these types of tournaments anymore. But I actually do like Stan to make this a match against Gael. Now, Gael's actually played quite well the last couple of weeks on grass. I think he's getting overpriced based on beating a good grass court player in Mannarino in the first round. Mannarino just did not look himself in that match whatsoever. So I'm not reading too much into that. Stan won a couple rounds at Wimbledon last year. He actually lost to Novak in the third round. So he does seem to still step up in these slams and at least able to win a couple of matches and, you know, kind of work his way into the tournament. So I'm going plus 3.5 games for Wawrinka here, maybe a small sprinkle on the money line as well. I think he's going to be able to take a set or two and really push Monfils. So I'm going with my boy, Stan the Man.
Kelly, here's a trivia question for you. Who is the only player on the men's tour that won not only one slam during the Federer, Nadal, Djokovic domination years, and throw Andy Murray in there as well. Who's the only player that won more than one slam during that period?
And I saw at the Delray Beach Open, Stan Wawrinka.
Stan Wawrinka, Aussie in 2014, French in 2015, and the U.S. Open in 2016. Stan Wawrinka, great thick hair, also known for that in the on the tour. John Deere Classic. By the way, Gael Monfils, also just one of the more exciting tennis players through the years as well. John Deere Classic, where did you land here as we approach the Open Championship later this month?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, Gil. This was a tough board to go through. I have had some success recently, and I'm thankful for that. I hit Bryson at the U.S. Open. I hit Cam Davis last week. I had my Tom Kim ticket go down in a playoff to Scottie Scheffler in the weeks in between. So I've been on a pretty good run here, but I kind of looked at this board and thought I might have to get the dart out and just close my eyes and see what happens, because it is one of these birdie fest putting contest type tournaments. I actually landed on a guy that won here a couple of years ago that I was on when he won, so maybe it's just more of a good vibes type play. But JT Poston down at 35-1, not in the greatest form coming in. I think that's why you're getting the number that you're getting, and you know, not something in that 20-25 range. But I think a real solid number on Poston, a guy that does have good vibes on this course, can get hot with the putter, and that's sort of what we're looking for here. So I'm going with JT Poston at 35-1. I grabbed Seamus Power at 60-1 as well, guys. Someone that, you know, a very talented player a couple years ago, kind of went away. I wouldn't want to say he's all the way back at this point, but he's shown some signs of progress over the course of this year. I kind of like where Seamus Power's game is at, and another guy that can go and win a birdie fest and, you know, something around that 20 under range. So those are two guys I looked at. And then I think you can make a bombs pack of just young gun players in this field. Neil Shipley, who just turned pro, this kid looks good. I think he's legit. So if you can find something close to triple digits on him, maybe with an each way, I would roll with that. Jake Knapp, not necessarily a young gun, but a guy that's young, at least in terms of being on tour. I think he's an interesting play. And Thor Bjornsson as well, another great young player down there close to triple digits. I think that's the move this week, guys. Take some bombs and hope and pray that you get the hot putter.
Kelly's going to talk John Deere Classic a little later on the show. Before you go, Jake, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you, because everybody does this after the NFL and NBA drafts, who won the NHL draft, in your opinion?
Well, I think a lot of people are really more concerned about who won NHL free agency on July 1st, and everyone rushing to bet the Nashville Predators. I don't know if you've seen if you've caught the line move, but their price has basically been cut in half based on what they did in free agency, going out and getting Stamkos and a bunch of other players as well. So I think it was a little too steep. Now I'm looking at the Preds number and going, okay, we need to maybe pump the brakes a little bit and let that thing come back. But a lot of people heavy on the Nashville Predators, at least in these early days in the offseason.
All right, I like it. Jake, I know you don't celebrate July 4th up there, but, you know, enjoy it nonetheless.
Happy Canada Day.
Celebrate, guys. I'm always looking for a reason to celebrate.
Happy Canada Day.
A couple days ago, I believe.
Yeah, I believe you're a little late on that, but happy Canada Day nonetheless there, Jake. Thank you. Jake Hahn, everybody. We'll come back. Season wins of the NFL next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide's packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth reviews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best futures bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, and a Coach of the Year column as well. Whether you're seasoned better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide's your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. We get tweets. I just want to read this one from Jordan West. Excuse me, not Jordan. Pardon me. Jeremiah Westgate, who says, Gil, far be it for me to defend MLB's lack of day games, but I think tonight a lot of teams have scheduled a fireworks display after games to celebrate the 4th. So on July 3rd, they're going nighttime to have fireworks. Whereas tomorrow, they already, you know, on every July 4th, day games throughout, like all-day baseball. There are also some night games tomorrow. I partially accept that answer, but not fully.
I'm trying to remember years past.
Because on July 4th... Man,
like, they're not doing fireworks during the day games tomorrow, right?
Right. So July 4th, you're allowed to have day and night games. Why can't you do it on July 3rd? Just flip it then. Right?
Yeah.
So, I hear you, Jeremiah Westgate, but if that is your real name. But I'm just saying.
That's
your real name.
I guess that makes sense.
Every one of them has a fireworks display. Come on, Major League Baseball. You always have day games.
But isn't this the biggest problem? Whenever we complain about scheduling stuff, it's just why do they all need to be
there?
That's
correct.
Why do they all?
Just have a few. I'm telling you, man. It's well, you know, good thing baseball doesn't need to bring in new fans. They're already set. They're good.
They
don't need to worry about that. They're good. We've got all the fans we need. That's what Rob Manfred is saying right now in his office.
If you can see me once a week being like, all right, I know I can. I know I have access to this one game. I want to watch it. Well, I'm like jumping back from app to app to like, I'm like going, Apple? No. ESPN Plus?
Oh,
no.
Geez.
TBS?
I literally would not be surprised if Rob Manfred is calling the sportsbook that have monthly markets up for most wins per month and saying, you got to take those down. There's too much interest. We've got too many fans.
Too much interest.
Just wouldn't be surprised at all.
We're not able to get all the campers
That's
out to
right.
the game today.
NFL season wins, of course, is a thing. Yesterday, we were talking about the drive for five, which turns out to be five games, and how much I loved a couple of them. Kelly liked a few of them as well. That's a DraftKings. And, of course, then it begs the question, what about season wins in general? I mentioned that I bet Pittsburgh, when the schedule first came out, bet them under at 8.5. Yesterday, I bet the alternate season win total under at 7.5, plus 155 right here at the D, which is a circus shop. Have you made any season wins?
Yeah, I got a few. I got a few, and I guess a couple since. I mean, I don't want to say when I was. I think I made them before I went on vacation, whenever the alt win totals opened up here at Circa. Yeah,
three options at Circa, five at DraftKings.
Yeah. So I've got a few in pocket right now, and they are all three unders. I guess I'm just realizing that right now.
I like it. Betting against human achievement is a good thing.
That's right. Steelers I made early. I didn't make early enough, though, because I, you know, if you have 8.5, you probably have a better odds than I have. I'm laying minus 145 on that. By the time I made that, it was a flat 8 most places. I don't know how you feel about that. It's always price dependent. But man, I would rather play the 8.5, go under, lay a little bit more juice on it. And then the two alts that I played. I will say a slight Fezzik tail here, because the Giants one was kind of one I had circled already, but I know he bet it. After he bet it, I was like, all right, let me get in on this before this number really moves. So under 5.5 on the Giants at plus 220, that is the all low under on the Giants. And that one for me, Gil, is just goes back to a lot of what we talked about yesterday of just – how I see the rest of the NFC East. And I think the Eagles are going to be a good team. I know we differ a little bit on that. However, the way I think you broke it down yesterday was well said. I think Eagles are going to be great. I think the Cowboys are still going to be up there. Are they going to be as good as what we've seen? I don't know. There's still a lot of questions circling around that team right now. There might be some in-house fighting going on throughout the season. That it wouldn't surprise me at all, but they're still too talented to be bad in that division. And then I think Jaden Daniels is going to make an instant impact on the Commanders, and the Commanders are not going to be that bad of a team.
Let us go.
So that leaves one team left in the division that is going to likely have a bad season if you think the way that I think. So if I'm higher on all three of those other teams and under 5.5 is over 2-1, was worth a play for me. And then it's kind of similar thinking with that Bears under, right? Except I'm doing the opposite. I didn't go on the alt low on the Bears under. I went on the alt high and played it under. So that is under 9.5 wins.
Oh, look what you did.
For the Bears there. But that same thing with the rest of the NFC North. I've We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I don't know if I'm convinced the Packers are going to take that next big step that a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people are convinced of, but I think they're going to be good. I don't think they're going to be any worse than they were last year. I think the Lions are still a top 3-4 team in the NFC at minimum. So you got those two teams at the top. And then my Vikings, Gil, that I've been on for like five straight years. I don't have a division bet on them this year. But I don't think they're going to – I don't see that big of a difference between the Vikings and the Bears from a talent standpoint. And yet there's a two-win difference in just the regular win total market at 8.5 for the Bears, 6.5 for the Vikings. I think the Bears and Vikings are going to be kind of fighting for that bottom spot. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Vikings finish third in that division. So, yeah, I'm giving myself one more out as far as a win goes and going under 9.5 on them. But it's, you know, I'm counting it up earlier. It looks like a 6-7 win schedule to me for the Bears. So, yeah, I'll take a little extra cushion and go under 9.5, but I really like that bet. That was the one that I put in the betting guide I wrote about a little bit more.
You went super conservative on the Steelers and the Bears. Like that you stayed there and laid the juice as opposed to, like, taking a shot.
Well, the one I'll say is that the Steelers, like you yesterday, I don't know that I'm done adding to.
Yeah.
That one I made before we had access to the all-win total.
Here's what I would like to say. You have three unders here. And, again, I've talked about this on this show from its inception and podcast before that, which is the notion of betting against human achievement, which comes from the old Chief Justice Earl Warren, the 1960s Chief Justice, who was asked on a train between D.C. and New York by a young attorney when he saw that the Chief Justice went to the sports page directly. And he said, "Mr. Chief Justice, I couldn't help but notice that you went to the sports page. A man of your stature, status didn't go to the news." And he said, he put his glasses down, he said, "I like to read about human achievement before I read about human sorrow." So these under bets are a bet against human achievement, and you are...
What a great background story. As often as you've said that line, I've never heard you give the background.
Oh, yeah. Chief Justice Earl Warren. So this is a good thing to take. Most bettors, if you're new to betting or new-ish, our brains are wired for optimism, mm-hmm. right? Overs and games, overs and season win totals. It's good to be an under sort of guy. It's good to have that. Now, that's not to say overs don't happen. Of course they do, but you're good to have that instinct. And I, by the way, I look at some of these bottom feeders in the NFL. It's like New England. Their season win total is 4.5, Kelly.
It's 4.5. So all I want to do is bet under on them, though, still.
That's all I'm saying, because I'm looking at this schedule.
It's
I'm
brutal.
Like, how are they getting 5 wins? Bro, I would even say it's better taking, like, I could even make a case that there's more of a case to bet them 0-17 than there is to bet them the over. So the under on the Patriots, to me, I haven't made it yet, seems like a play. And then...
So, Gil, real quick, I was waiting for that number to come out, right? What was the Patriots win total going to be? Because I think if it was 5.5, 6-ish, in that range, it would definitely be a bet in my account already. When it opened 4.5, I was like, okay, that's really low. If you're watching at home, you're looking at the schedule on the screen. It is just brutal.
Where are the wins? Where are they? There aren't 5 of them, I'll tell you that much.
There's not 5 of them. You know the one thing that's kept me away? The one thing that's kept me away. This is how much respect I have for this
you
guy.
You love Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett can pull out a win or two with a junk team. Give him a weather game where it gets it gets ugly. I trust and like Jacoby Brissett to pull out a win or two.
Skins great, Jacoby Brissett.
Yep. I mean now having said that though, if I hear Drake Mays getting the starting job week one, I'm in.
Well, it's a question of not if but when.
So correct.
Well, week one would require Drake May to dramatically outperform Jacoby Brissett. But week 4, week 5, week 6, all possibilities. Maybe they decide to sit him longer. I don't know, but here's your Patriots schedule.
I'm just laughing at the, like, you know, we always look for the spot. Like, where's the spot?
There's no spot.
There's no spot.
There is no spot. Like, even if you give them certain games, you're like, okay, let's say they go at Titans and they win. Let's say they win 2 in a row in the middle. They're at Titans at Bears.
Give
Find me
two.
3 more. Like, I just don't see them.
Cardinals, but then we're
okay,
talking
Cardinals.
3 road games.
Find me 2 more.
Chargers.
Bro, come on. I'm just saying, the under, even at 4.5, which is, by the way, the under's plus 135. That's the point, right? You're not laying juice. You're a dog. I like that. I'm looking at the Broncos and the Panthers also. Like, the Broncos might be an under also.
How are they getting 5 here? How are they?
We'll get into all of these. Worst record, last team to, you know, last winless team, which we hit on last year with the Panthers. We're coming